Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
David Levin, owner of DH Levin and Associates. Good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Good morning, Howard, and good morning to all the listeners.
So obviously talking about something very, very serious and something that most parents of young kids don't really contemplate or want to contemplate. And that is, God forbid, if something has to happen to them, what is going to happen to their kids?
And I think you're right. I think it's more of a situation. It is, as you like to say, one very difficult discussion to have. What do you do? You know, we all like to think that if one of us passes away or surviving, our spouse will survive. And I think this event brings quite close to home the fact that nothing is set in stone, and you do need to make provision in your will for somebody to look after your minor children and any other dependents that you may have. Okay, we go to potentially disabled siblings who we have a duty to support, to elderly or disabled parents. It goes a whole way. It's not just limited to your children. So the whole question of guardianship is, who do you choose to look after these people who are dependent on you and don't have the ability to look after themselves?
And what would the criteria be in when you sit down to try and make these types of decisions or have these discussions?
Well, first of all, of course, you have it with your spouse. Let's assume that the people we are concerned about don't have the mental capacity, either legally or emotionally or physically, to be part of that discussion. But you have to look at everything to do with the emotional growth of those people and the well-being of those people. So it's not necessarily always a parent or a grandparent, if we're talking about children. It might be an aunt or an uncle. It might well be a very good friend. It's become more difficult and is pointed out very much by this case in Italy, where we have relations all over the world, and although the people living far afield may be the right people to look after your children, is it the right thing to pull them out of their environment, the environment they know, and shift them halfway around the world into the care of somebody else? The other thing to remember is you can split the emotional care of these people from the financial side of it by creating a will trust in your will, that the financial assets go into a trust that is managed by trustees for the benefit of those dependents. So the people who have the responsibility both emotionally and physically to look after the people don't necessarily have control of the money that is going to give them the ability to do this.
And that's an interesting, it's an interesting way of looking at it, because I think often we do just think, all right, we need one person to take care of our kids or somebody, as you say, who might need assistance. And we look to ourselves as parents, for example, we look for somebody to replace that. But actually, maybe that can be divided. The grandparents, let's say, for emotional, and somebody else to keep an eye on the financial or something like that.
So, and that is, and it's a discussion that whenever we consult with somebody in terms of preparing their will, it is something we tell them to look at carefully and with thought, and to discuss it with the people they are considering appointing as the guardians. The other thing is, as has happened over in this incident, you don't know whether the people you're appointing as guardians will still be around to accept that appointment. And as those dependents grow older, you may say in your will that somebody is going to be the guardian, which might be okay for a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old, but potentially not for a 12-year-old or a 14-year-old. So you have to, it is a moving goalpost.
And you should revisit it from time to time as your kids get older, and as the people that you might have asked to be the guardians, as you talk about older parents, maybe they're no longer in a position to be able to manage younger kids, for example. or teenage kids, as correct. The case may be. Mm.
Correct.
What's interesting to me is, having lost both of my parents over the last couple of years as an adult, what was fascinating was their different approaches to be able to speak about death. So my mom, for example, my late mother, was very open about it, literally planning her own funeral. We could have open discussion. She was comfortable in talking about things following her passing. My father, on the other hand, couldn't contemplate that at all. It was never a discussion. We never spoke about anything like that. He just wasn't able to have these conversations. I imagine that, using that as an example, that this is what you're seeing all the time, that there are people that find it just simply too difficult to contemplate that maybe their own mortality or their kids being around as younger kids, vulnerable without them, and obviously others who are more comfortable. Do you see this in your practice?
We see it all the time, and that's why we stress with people who come to see us the importance of having these discussions, as uncomfortable as they are. And one of the problems is they also don't like to have these discussions with their families, possibly not the parents not wishing to have that discussion, but older children not wishing to have that discussion and feeling that their parents may well be mortal. You know, a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old, they already think they're immortal, and they know their parents, who they sometimes take for granted, but they assume they'll be there forever, and they really don't often like to talk about what happens if mom or dad is not there anymore. Okay. It's a very difficult situation all round. And sometimes we've actually mediated between couples to say, listen, we'll help you through it. We will sit with you. We will discuss it. Take a piece of paper, write down pros and cons, maybe even before you have that discussion with each other, just so that it becomes, I hate to say it, but you've got to make it a more clinical discussion and try and take the emotion out of it.
Absolutely. So very important. Before I let you go, how does a young couple, what do they do? What are the first steps they do, and how do they get assisted through this type of a process?
Well, they approach ourselves or somebody like ourselves, okay, somebody with empathy to their situation. Just anecdotally, and I hate to admit this, but early on in life, when we had young children, my wife and I had huge issues in terms of deciding which of the grandparents at the time would be appropriate to look after our minor children. And you know what? So we've been through it on numerous occasions personally. So we know where the difficulties are. But you need to be open to the discussion. So not shy away from it, not put it off. You know,
that's so important.
But we are here, and even if you don't want to go to people such as ourselves, then as parents, start the discussion with your own siblings and say, "Hi guys, what have you done? How have you made provision for your children?" You haven't approached us to be guardians. Have you considered it?
Right.
And I think it needs to be part of a wider discussion.
Absolutely.
That is out there, especially in the times in which we live at the moment.
And we've seen that. Unfortunately, you know, I've chatted to a lot of people who became seriously ill with COVID and thankfully recovered. But they said one of the most frightening things was they were going to be admitted to hospital, realizing that they haven't sorted a will properly, and rushing to do that before they went into hospital because this needed to be done. And that, I think, just highlights that something could unfortunately happen at any time, and how important it is to do that.